afterwards, but I just want to get this message that the Lord's put on my mind to give to the church today. It's one of those things where I think it'll stay with you forever, because it's one of those things that you can use forever. Like every single day you're under attack, and every single day you're going to be tempted. Every day. And so therefore the rest of our lives, until we see Jesus face to face, we need some ammunition, and we need some things, some admonition. We need God to tell us what to do sometimes. And to me, this message is very simple and it's easy to remember. Take your Bibles, open to Proverbs chapter 10, today's Proverb chapter 10. And then from there, we're going to go to Proverbs 27. And then from there, Job chapter 1. So in the book of Proverbs today, did anybody read the proverb today?
Amen.
Amen. If you didn't read your proverb today, you got the night's not over. You can read it tonight. Remember, I'm going to say it all the time. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Whatever the date is, read that proverb. So that way you can read through all through every day. Pick it up. Read the proverb. You'll learn a lot. Chapter 10. Are you all there? I'm going to read one verse. It's a verse, first verse, in verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Just want you to concentrate on a wise son makes God glad. Amen. A wise son makes a glad father. And I honestly, I want to make God, I'd love to please God. Don't you feel like you're always letting him down? You know, it's like we have high expectations of ourselves and we have high expectations of God, and God never fails us, ever. But we seem to always fail God, and at least I do. You know, I guess the closer you get to God and the more responsibility you have and the more that you feel like you're supposed to be perfect, you know what I mean? And you just mess up. Even if it's one little thing, to me it's a big deal. But I want to please God. Do you want to please God? And it's very simple, and I had like, I'm not kidding, like four messages to like go this way. So this is the one that I believe God wants me to tell you. But a wise son, think about that wisdom. You got to be wise. And if you make the right choices and you do the right things, right, it makes God glad. It makes your father who loves you, as Anton was praying, and we know God loves us. I mean, it's amazing love. And he wants us to be blessed, and he wants us to do good, and he wants us to be happy. And, you know, like I said, I want everyone to have high fives and hallelujahs. You know, like wherever I see, how you doing? And praise Jesus, I'm doing great. High fives and hallelujahs. And God wants that as well. But when he said, a wise son makes a glad father, I want you to turn over quickly to Proverbs 27. And in Proverbs 27, verse 11, we have a verse that says, my son, be wise. Here we have it. The same thing again. My son, be wise. And now this is giving us a glimpse into something very, very important, very, very powerful. And I love this. And I want you to get this. And it says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. Now, first one, make God have happy. Okay. Bring joy to God, the Father. Make a glad father. But here it says, make my heart glad. Why? That I may answer him that reproaches me. And here we have a knowledge of what God is telling us, that there's someone that approaches God and reproaches him by telling God about how bad his children are. And we have a devil, we have an enemy, we have a God, amen, and we also have an adversary. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the devil and the darkness and evil out there. Temptations run rampant, and this world is hard, and you know, that's why we need God every day. That's why we need Christ every day. There's people that think they don't need God but once a week or something. You know what I mean? They just don't understand. But here, he says, make my heart glad that I may answer him, that I may have something to say to this person that is coming to me and reproaching me, and that is the devil himself. And for those of you who have missed Sunday schools many times, Satan, the devil, is called the prince of the power of the air, and he is not stuck on this earth. The devil's not in hell. He's never been in hell. He's going to be in hell when Jesus comes back and casts him into the bottomless pit. Amen. He's going to be falling forever. Well, I shouldn't say forever. For 1,000 years. And then God's going to let him out to do what he does now, to tempt the nations again. We talk about it a lot. I don't have all night to talk about that because that's not the message. But then he's going to cast him into the lake of fire forever and ever. But right now, the devil walks to and fro in the earth. The devil has his armies. The devil has his his dominions. And he has these devils, amen, they're called devils. We call them demons, but the Bible calls them devils. And they're everywhere, amen? And they are there to spy on you. They're there to tempt you. They're there to make you not read your Bible. They're there to get you not to pray. They're there to get you away from Christ, because the closer you get to Christ, the more power and authority you have over all them, and they don't want that, amen? So the devil sends these adversaries out to try to do whatever they can to mess your day up. Keep you away from this book and from God. And that's why things happen, amen? But anyway, the devil himself is able to lead. They have meetings. You don't understand. There's powers and principalities. There's rulers. He has levels of demons, of devils. And so they all report to him. And so you have a devil that's probably been harassing you all week. But you also have an angel on your side too. But anyway, so you have a devil that's been harassing you all week. And not only does your devil show up as your best friend, not only does the devil show up to tempt you. See, you're not tempted with evil. You're tempted with things you like. You know, those things are probably not good for you, and they lead to evil. But you're not going to be tempted to go out and punch some random guy in the face. You're not going to go be tempted to do something you don't want to do. You're going to be tempted to do something you do want to do. Amen? So they get you tempted. They get you to do it. And then they go back to tell the devil this that you did. And then the devil has his list or whatever, and he goes up in the presence of God, and he now... he accuses you to God in his face about you. Joe, I saw him do this. He did this, did this. Now, according to the law, because everything in God is according to law. Amen. Everything about God is law. And that's why the devil knows the law, uses the law against God. You said in your word this. And God, as the righteous judge, will say, okay, devil, you're allowed to do this. But he can only do what God allows him to do. Now, we are the children of God, amen? And so, therefore, the devil hates us, hates you. So he's got devils on you trying to get you to sin. And then when you do sin, what's he do? He goes to the Father. He goes to God, and he accuses you. And now, if this is what he said, be wise, please, be wise, and make my heart glad that I can answer this bozo that comes to me and talks about you. See, this is real deal. This is really happening. Turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. From there, we're going to Revelation 12. Job chapter 1, and I am going to go fast. It says in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He hated evil. Remember we talked about that, Jimmy, about hating evil? And he hated it. But here it says he was perfect, he was upright, and he feared God. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So I just want to say that. Now look in verse 6. It says, there was a day when the sons of God, that's angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from, Satan? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? See, God knows he has. He says, and there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. That means he hates evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Does Job fear you for nothing? He says, you've made a hedge about him. And that shows us there's hedges around us. This shows us that God puts a hedge around us that the devil cannot get us. Amen. But the devil knows how to get that hedge an opening. Yeah. And that's how he goes to God. He's trying. Many of us have a hedge around us right now. And there's a reason we have a hedge around us. And there's a reason God allows the devil to attack you. It's not because he doesn't love you, because he does love you. He's trying to wake you up and show you that, look, whatever it is you're doing, you're allowing the devil in now. Now you need to repent, get rid of it, so the devil has no authority to come into your life. Look what it says. He says, and Job, in verse 10, has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side, and that you've blessed the work of his hands, and his substance increases in the land? Now, verse 11 is what the devil really believes. He says, but if you put forth your hand now, and you touch all that he has, he will curse you to your face. He believes that. See, the devil believes that man is evil, corrupt, no good at all, and God sees the good in man. The devil doesn't see any good in man. We don't. Sometimes we don't see any good in man. But the truth of the matter is so the devil thinks he's smart, but God's way smarter. And so he says to God, the only reason Job is so good is because you bless him and you got a hedge around him and no evil can come upon him. And so God says, okay, devil, go ahead. I'm going to remove the hedge now. You go and you touch all that he has. Just don't touch him. And we know the story. You can go back and read it yourself. And it goes on. Read it yourself. And he kills all his children. The devil kills every one of 10 of his children in one day. He gets armies to come in and rob him of all his camels, his sheep, his goats, his cattle. He takes all his money, takes all his children, and they're all dead. And his whole family, he's broken. He has no money. Everything's destroyed. His kids are all dead in one day. And then servants come and tell him. And Job falls on his face. And he wraps his clothes. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I go out. But still, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, it makes the devil really mad. And that's what, see, the God has an answer for the devil. Right? God has an answer. And that's what he's asking us to do for us. Now, because of time, let's go quickly. Look in Revelation chapter 12. Amen. Revelation chapter 12. And from there, we're going to go to John 1. 1 John 1. Revelation chapter 12 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. I love chapters like Job that give me insight to things that you would have never known. Amen. I love seeing behind the curtain, if so to speak. And it says in Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 10, it says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Why? Why is it now? Because the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. He just told us that every day, twice a day, the devil goes to God and accuses every time one of his children sin. God's got to hate that. I mean, you want to talk, get someone mad, start talking about their children. You want to get a parent mad, start talking bad about their kids. You know what your son did? You know what your daughter did? They did this. Like, at first you might handle, but after like 500 times, you want to kill the person. Like, and that's what God's saying. Please be wise and make me glad so that I can have something to say to this guy. And that's what we were going to learn. What does God have to say? What do we have to do to make God glad so that God can say the right thing back to him? Because you don't want the devil to be right. You don't want the devil to say, yeah, well, Anton only blesses you because you've got a hedge around him. He bless him. Let me mess with his job. Let me mess with his workers. Let me mess with his wife. We'll see then. He'll curse you then. And God will say, okay, I'll prove it to you. Go ahead. And then Anton has a horrible, terrible day, and these bad things are happening. And then Anton says, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I love you. You're awesome and great. And the devil goes, oh. And the devil comes back up to God, and God says, see, you see, devil, he's got a protection on him. But the thing is that was what happened to Job. What happens with us is God doesn't even allow the devil to touch us if we are wise. Now, let's keep reading. Look what it says. It says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. Now, it's funny because he said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. So you're saved, right? Amen. You're saved, right? Amen. What are you saved from? Hell. Thank you. Did you say hell? Good job. Sting, ding, star. You're saved from hell. You're never going to hell, ever. You can't go to hell if you try. Do you understand that? You're not saved from this old devil right now, are you? He's still around, isn't he? But there's going to come a time when we're taken off this earth. He's cast down. He no longer can leave the earth. That's why it says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. God, there's coming a time when the church comes up, the devil's getting cast down. Do you understand? He will no longer be able to accuse us to God. Why? Because we won't be down here no more. We're going to be up with God. And so he's going to be cast down. Amen. And there's a war in heaven. And you'll read it in chapter 1. There's a war in heaven. The devil, when the rapture of the church happens and all of us are down here, go up there. That's when the devil knows that he has one last chance. And he gets all his devil angels. And he actually attacks heaven and tries to get in. And Michael and his angels fight against the devil and their angels. And there's war in heaven. And heaven is shaken up. And many of the angels that are in heaven take the devil's side. One third. And then God casts them all to this earth. And now no devil can leave the earth. They're all stuck here. And that's when the devil becomes the Antichrist and gets as many people to go to hell as he can by making a mark that you learn about that. We don't have the time. When we're talking about God is asking us, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may be able to answer this loser, this devil that accuses you all the time. So keep reading. Verse 11, it says, God says, this is how you be wise. Listen to the word of God. Do what God says. He says in verse 11, and they overcame him. We overcome the devil, it says, by these three things. By the word, by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Someone say the blood of the Lamb. That's your number one defense. You understand? Number uno defense against the devil is the blood of the Lamb. When should I use this blood, Tony? When? 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 When should I use the blood? When you sin. When you do something wrong, that's when you need the blood of Jesus. Amen? A righteous man doesn't need the blood of Jesus. It's a sinner needs the blood of Jesus. So therefore, Jesus in his high priest outfit is in heaven right now with his blood on the mercy seat, ever making intercession for us. So when the devil comes, when you sin and the devil gets you to sin, just say you sinned right now. Just say you had a bad thought. Say, man, I do not like that Mike Wilps' voice. I can't stand that guy. Right? God hears your thoughts. So you need to go, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. God, please forgive me for thinking that thought. You ever have a thought? Yeah. You ever have a bad thought? Ask God to forgive you for it. You ever have a bad attitude? Ask God to forgive you for it. You ever have a bad spirit? Ask God to forgive you for it. You ever say something you shouldn't have said? Ask God to forgive you for it because you need, that's sin. That is sin. And you're supposed to hate sin. You understand? So when you keep short accounts, whatever it is you do, you ask God to forgive you. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from everything. Amen. So by the time the devil gets the news from these other devils, this so-and-so sinned, Helen sinned, he gets back up to heaven, he starts to accuse Helen, and God says, what are you talking about? There's no sin. But she said, no, look, I got it right here. She's all washed in the blood. He hates that. The devil hates the blood. But the problem is Christians aren't wise, and they don't confess their sins right away. And they sin and they don't confess their sins. They're fools. We all sin. Can I get an amen? We all fall short of the glory of God, but we don't all confess our sins immediately. We wait until all of a sudden things go wrong in our lives and the devil's allowed access to us. And God will say, go ahead, devil. And the devil will smack you around. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, God. And you remember, God, please forgive me for that. And all of a sudden the blood washes you. Now the hedge is back and the devil can't get you. The smartest thing to do is confess your sins immediately. Look what it says. It says, how do we overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives even unto death. Those three things, the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and you love not your life. I'm here to tell you, I don't have all day. I'm going to go as fast as I can. The blood is the very first offense. You have to confess your sins. Amen. Did anybody have anything to confess their sins to God for us from today? Anything you did today that you knew wasn't pure, wasn't holy. Anybody? Yeah, well, you need to do it right now before the devil gets up and accuses you and you're not covered by the blood. That's why he's given us the blood. Look with me in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Look in verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that means with Jesus, and we walk in darkness, we lie. And the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Cleanses us from what? All sin. Thank you, Jesus. All sin. All sin. Woo! Thank you, man. You talk about grace. You talk about blessing. You talk about, thank you, Jesus. I need that blood. And look what it doesn't stop. Look what it says. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, I love this verse. He is faithful. That means he will never not be there. He will never not forgive you. He, God Almighty, is faithful. He's never going to go, well, it's you and I'm not going to listen. It's you again? Nope. Not until you suffer a little. That's not my Lord. He is not like us. He is more long-suffering than you could ever imagine, more patient you could ever imagine. He's faithful and he's just. You know what that word just means? He is right in doing it. He's faithful and he's just to do it. And to do what? Forgive us of our sins and to what? Cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Everything that's not right. And when you confess your sins to God, they're forgiven under the blood and you are perfect in the eyes of God. You are perfect and upright just like Job. Now, I hope it stays. I hope you don't go around sinning too often, but we do, don't we? But we have an advocate with the Father. We have Jesus Christ the righteous. And we got to use the blood. The second thing we got to use is the word of our testimony. We've got to, we have a testimony. You, how many people in here are saved? Come on, help me. I don't, amen. You sure? Do you remember it? How'd you get saved? Do you remember? Don't tell me. Do you remember how you got saved? You remember where you were? We just talked about it tonight. Job remembers where he was. Do you remember where you were? If you can't go back to a time, to a place, you don't have to know the date and the hour, but you were there, right? You have a memory of it. If you don't have any memory of it, you don't remember, probably because it didn't happen. And you're just turned over a new leaf. And you got some kind of religion. And you think you're okay because you believe in Jesus. You believe in God and all these things you're saying amen to. But there's never been a time when you've been born again. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about salvation, so to speak. It's about being born again. You're dead. You were nailed to the cross with Christ. He was buried. You were buried. He went to hell. You went to hell. He rose from the dead. You're alive from the dead. Double jeopardy. You can never be condemned again. You are free man, free woman. You're never going to hell. You can never, ever, ever be judged for your sin. Thank you, Jesus. But you can be messed up your fellowship with God. That's why it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're not telling the truth. Amen. I want to hurry up with that. But the blood of the Lamb is the first defense. We have to use, be wise and use it. Second thing is the word of your testimony. You have to tell people. You have to tell people. You have to talk about it. You've got something happened to you. You don't have to know a Bible verse. You don't have to know John 3:16. You don't even have to come to church. But you do have to know that you got saved. And if you do and you have an experience, you must share that experience. You must. Because if you don't, the devil's going to get you. Because that word, turn with me if you would please, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and then Luke 12. Is that right? Might be. You there? Matthew 10 verse 32. Jesus is speaking, says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Him will God, I'm sorry, the Lord Jesus Christ confess to his Father. Father, that's Christian. He belongs to me. He's mine. He just was talking about me at work. Oh, they didn't like it. Oh, they called him names when he wasn't listening. Oh, they, but he stood up. He talked about me. Now I want to talk about him. And then the devil comes to God and tries, and God says, no, he's mine. You have no right to him. You're never going to get him because he got the used the blood and he used his testimony. You got to confess Christ. Amen. You got to talk about the one who saved you. You got to talk about the one who gave you his life. You got to talk about the one who, because of his blood, my sins are forgiven. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am just like everyone else, and only by the grace of God, I'm not stealing, drinking, and drugs, and all that stuff. Only by the grace of God, I'm not hanging with the wrong people. Only by the grace of God, filth doesn't come out of this mouth anymore, but praise God does. Amen? Only by the grace of God, I know where I'm going when I die. I can go on and on, but I'm not. But the last one is the most powerful. We can proclaim the blood of Christ. We can confess our sins to God. Can anybody do that? And we can be perfect in that eyes. Then we can confess Jesus and we can tell people about how I got saved. That's what we need to do. Many people have never done that yet. You have your testimony. It's not mine. It's yours. You got to share it. You understand? You must. It's powerful. It takes the devil. It just kicks the devil's way. But anyway, but the last one is this. See, if the devil can't get you through confession and he can't get you through profession, oh, he's going to get you through digression. He's going to get you where your life is. It says, and they love not their lives, even unto death. See, too many people love this world more than they love God. They love the comforts of this world more than Jesus. They love the food and the fellowship and they love the recliners and the big screen TVs and they love all this stuff. And then if you mess with that, they don't like that. Don't mess. Listen, I'll talk to you about Jesus, and I'll confess to Jesus. I'll go to church. I'll even give the church money. But don't take away my house, and don't take away my comfort, and don't take away my food, and don't kill my dog or my cat. Are you kidding me? That would destroy my life. Don't mess with my children. Don't touch my mom. See, you don't put a condition on God. There's no conditions. I love you, Lord, unless you take my wife, mom from me. I love you, Lord, unless you ruin my marriage. I love you, Lord, unless my kids are okay. You know what I mean? It's like, there's no unless with God. That's what the devil said. So just take that away from them. You'll see, they'll curse you. Never let the devil be right. That's why God says, please make me happy. Make me glad by giving me something to say to this guy. And that's why it says, love not your life. Look quickly for me, will you? Go to Luke 12. Luke 12. I'm trying to go as fast as I can. I just saw the clock for the first time. Luke 12, verse 8. Jesus speaking again. He said, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Amen. And he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. What do the angels have to do with it? They're the ones fighting your spiritual battles. You confess Christ? Jesus not only tells the Father, he goes and tells the angels, go, help them. You're sitting there struggling. You're ever struggling? You ever get down, depressed, don't know what's going on in your life? Go tell someone about Jesus. And Jesus will tell the angels, go, go, go. And they'll make a circle around you. And they'll have 10,000 angels around you, and no devils can't get you. This stuff's real. Promise people don't believe it. Let me hurry up and look in Acts chapter 20. Love not their lives unto death. Love not their own lives. It says here in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Apostle Paul's speaking, he said, but none of these things move me. He's talking about how in verse 19, he said, serving the Lord with all humility and of mind and of many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying away of the Jews. 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you and have showed you and taught you publicly. 21, testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And all these things befell him. He got stoned, got beat up, got thrown in prison. You name it, he going through it. Amen. And he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. We have got to, the Bible tells us, Jesus said that he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He didn't stop there, fellas, brothers and sisters. He said he that loves their children, daughters and sons more than me. He that loves their mother and father more than me. He that loves their wives or their lives more than me is not worthy of me. See, it's easier to confess my sins to God. I can do that. I got that. It's a little bit harder to profess his name to others, but I do that as much as I can. But it's really hard to not care about my life that much. It's really hard not to care about the comforts. It's hard. And God didn't say he's going to take it away from you. It says how they overcame the devil is they didn't love the things of this more than even their own life. They would die for Christ. See, how's the devil going to get you? And that if he can't get you through the blood, if he can't get you through confession Christ, he's going to get you through you loving life more. And he's going to go to the Father and he's going to say, yeah, you take away that big screen TV. You take away their car. You take away their job. You take away their home. You'll see, they'll curse you. And don't ever make the devil right. We have things that we need to be. That's why God said, a wise son makes a glad father. Amen. And he said, please make me glad so I can have something to say to this scumbag devil that keeps coming. I'm done. But I want you to think about this before we leave. You have confession, right? You have profession, and you have detest. You have confess, profess, and detest. What's that detest? Hate sin. Hate it. Hate sin. Just know the truth that your life is but a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Amen? Don't put all your eggs in your life, because all you got to do is put all your eggs and everything in Christ, and he'll give you a good life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the suffering servant on the cross. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his burial. Thank you for his resurrection. And thank you for his ascension into heaven and his blood that he put on the mercy seat. Thank you, Jesus. That blood is there, fresh and new, and it speaks better things than that of Abel. Thank you that we can come and confess our sins and know for a fact that they're forgiven under the blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us, each and every one of us, a testimony how you saved us. Please help us in this area to go out and share our testimony, how we got saved with others, so that they can also be saved. And Lord, the last is certainly not the least. It's hard. But I pray that you give us the power to be crucified with Christ. Live for Christ. Not love this world more than him. Not love our pleasures, or even our children and our family more than him. May Christ be all in all. We thank you for the church that you died for. We thank you for the blood that's shed on us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's with us. We ask that you would protect each and every one of us as we go home. And will bring us back here again on Sunday. I pray some come out on Saturday and go put out door hangers. And Lord, I just pray you bless our families, our homes. Help us to be strong. Help us to be protected with the hedge of protection around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.